somewhere in New Mexico. And T-Dub put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, February 22nd, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. My fear is today's broadcast might be overwhelming, but my hope is it won't. So with that said, buckle up, Dorothy. From the excuse me, I'm a little froggy this morning. From the Dark Mountain Manifesto, Chapter 1, Walking on Lava, quoting Ralph Waldo Emerson. The end of the human race will be that it will eventually die of civilization. Those who witness extreme social collapse at first, firsthand, seldom describe any deep revelation about the truths of human existence. What they do mention, if asked, is their surprise at how easy it is to die. The pattern of ordinary life, in which so much stays the same from one day to the next, disguises the fragility of its fabric. How many of our activities are made possible by the impression of stability that pattern gives. So long as it repeats, do you hear that? It's not just me, right? I'm hearing some kind of a, okay, I think it's gone now. So long as it repeats, or very steadily enough, we're able to plan for tomorrow as if the things we rely on and don't think about too carefully will still be there. When the pattern is broken by civil war or natural disaster or the smaller scale tragedies that tear it at its fabric, many of those activities become impossible or meaningless, while simply meeting needs we once took for granted may occupy much of our lives. And that's kind of, that seems to explain where we're at these days. I would encourage folks to read Kaczynski's manifesto. You know, I've read it several times on air, and we are definitely in the throes of that battle, to be sure. So we seem, continuing though, let's move on. We seem to hear a great deal about mass casualty events these days, don't we? It seems you can't go anywhere without being reminded of Sandy Hook, Columbine, Virginia Tech, Aurora, Charleston, Fort Hood, and now Parkland. And of course, along with the echo chamber of reminders comes the incessant moral preening and virtue signaling about how mental health screening and so-called gun control, a direct open attack on the First and Second Amendment. But why should we be surprised? After all, this has been going on for over 100 years now. As R.J. Pistrito wrote in The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, the modern state ought to receive significant attention. The reason for this is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. In fact, the original Progressive Era architects of the administrative state understood this quite clearly as they made advocacy of this new approach to government an important part of their direct, open, comprehensive attack on the American Constitution. So why should a subsequent attack on the Bill of Rights come as a surprise? I would dare say it shouldn't. These people are serious. They're deadly serious. These are frightening times. Some may call me cavalier and even heartless, but I can't help recalling that guy who published that book back in 1991, Behold a Pale Horse, wherein he wrote these words: "The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms. Using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients, in a process called Orion, the CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. Author's note: I have found that these events have indeed happened all over the country. In every instance that I've investigated, the shooters were all ex-mental patients or were current mental patients who were all on the drug Prozac. This drug, when taken in certain doses, increases the serotonin level in the patient, causing extreme violence. Parenthetically, I would add, incidentally, it's actually the serotonin reduction that causes violent and aggressive behavior. Couple that with a post-hypnotic suggestion or control through an electronic brain implant or microwave or ELF intrusion, and you get a mass murderer, ending every case with the suicide of the perpetrator. And parenthetically, I would ask, how many times, including Esteban Santiago, Aaron Alexis, and of course Nicholas Cruz, have we heard suspects complain of hearing voices telling them to murder people, giving them exact instructions? Bill Cooper wrote, "Exhume the bodies of the murderers and check for a brain implant. I think you're going to be surprised. In every case, the name of the murderer's doctor or mental treatment facility has been withheld. I believe we will be able to establish intelligence community connections and or connections to known CIA experimental mind control programs when we finally discover who these doctors of death really are." And it's interesting the way that the narrative gets more subtle, more sly, and more crafty each time. When Esteban Santiago was grabbed, gosh, who did the original news reporting on that? I forget. Maybe we'll grab that. But when Santiago, I want to say it was ABC, but it was Bill Nelson, Senator Bill Nelson, who said that Santiago had a military ID on him. Who knows if that's legitimate ID? That's what he said. So you always have this connection. You know, that's one of the harbingers. You always have a law enforcement or law enforcement agency connection, and often a military or intelligence and or intelligence connection close by. So we'll hear more about that here in a little bit. But I may seem preoccupied lately with last Wednesday's events, but not without good cause, I believe. The latest casualties of the war on truth and freedom of, and free speech are now the Charles Walton YouTube channel, the Urban Moving channel, which I mentioned yesterday, Ben Kelly's career and reputation, while the First and Second Amendment seem to hang in the balance as the entire country is bullied by the artful minority of intriguers. By the way, you do understand the significance of the names of the YouTube channels lost, right? Charles Walton and Urban Moving. These guys are clearly smarter than the rest of us, so I hope we're paying attention. I hope we're paying close attention and taking notes. As one YouTube user noted, over 3,500 videos removed today regarding David Hogg. This is incredible. Be careful. That's the YouTube user's comment. A la this ABC News headline. Social media companies block abuse of Parkland shooting survivors online. Block abuse, indeed. More like insulating from criticism, but I digress. Where's my abuse blocker? Then there was the Ben Kelly incident, which not only got him fired, but then today this Tampa Bay Times headline, aide who claimed students were actors had IRS troubles, so why did Sean Harrison hire him? Referring to Ben Kelly's 2012 federal grand jury indictment for failure to file tax returns. That's what happens. You question the narrative, and suddenly you have tax problems, IRS problems, legal problems, who knows what. Hopefully Ben Kelly doesn't accidentally become suicidal, but he won't. It's kind of an anecdotal challenging of the establishment narrative. And as another YouTube user observed, ZOG cubic equals black cube equals L, or Israel, Sheriff Israel is the top level Chad at Shabbat of Parkland infiltrated. That was one of the comments. To which I would add, it sure was curious, wasn't it? How the local Shabbat Chai Center managed to capture so-called surveillance footage of the alleged shooter walking down the street. This won't be fantastic, but I want to play it if we can, just real quick. I mean, maybe like just a little bit of it, but this is the video. CNN's Martin Savage reports the video is titled Surveillance Video shows Florida gunman after shooting. I'll play a little bit of that if we have. All right, hit it.
This is surveillance video that CNN has been able to obtain. On that terrible day, last Wednesday, we know that the alleged gunman here, and that's Nicholas Cruz, spent about an hour and 10 minutes out in the community, wandering around after the shooting took place. So he was able to leave the grounds of the school around 2:28 in the afternoon with all the other terrified students. And then this video shows him at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon as he is crossing the street or heading in the direction of a McDonald's restaurant. So according to the sheriff's department here in the timeline they've released, after he left the school grounds, he went to a nearby Walmart store and then went inside, had a drink at a Subway sandwich shop, and then, according to this video as well, he walks over to the nearby McDonald's. He doesn't get anything in McDonald's, sits down for a while, then leaves. He's apprehended about 40 minutes later after this video timestamp. So that's what we know about his movements on the
that's
day. Something else CNN
good enough. You should watch it, though. Go watch surveillance video shows Florida gunman after shooting. And here's my observation. You know, wait. When was the last time you saw surveillance video, quote unquote, that was shaky? Because it is. It's shaky. And is that a fixed position CCTV camera that's actually following the alleged suspect as he walks down the sidewalk? That's curious. There was a whole write-up in several publications about the shenanigans, titled Parkland, Florida Shabbat Center Surveillance Video Could Figure Prominently in Case Against Parkland Shooter. It's clearly not a fixed position camera. It looks like somebody holding a cell phone and following someone walking down the street. So it looks like to me. There's clearly manipulation of the camera, and it's not, a steady. I mean, when was the last time you saw a fixed position camera follow someone walking down the street? It's a little follow. It's subtle, but it's there. So that's interesting. So this not surveillance videos might figure prominently in case against Parkland shooter. Actually, I think it might figure prominently in the conspiracy that might send several people to prison. Not one of them, Nicholas Cruz. But in that story, Parkland, Florida, Shabbat Center surveillance video could figure prominently in case against Parkland shooter, in which Rabbi Hershey Bronstein tells quite a tale, it would seem. I mean, it's very sensational. I won't get into that. You can look it up if you want. Are you watching now as the system has fallen back in defense? I mean, there are a lot of stories that are coming out attacking different points in defense. You know, the Ben Kelly story is one of them. And in Vladislav Surkov style, in a Vladislav Surkov styled echo chamber of alternative events, created its own specious Machiavellian counter narrative. And it is an echo chamber, you know. It's just a closed system of talking points. The counter narrative slightly off the mark, as always, in an effort to, in effect, roll up all opposition in the equivocation fallacy of the notion that all criticism of the establishment narrative is the same. And, you know, evil. We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, feels it's good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother.
Welcome back.
He sat me right down and he talked to me.
Bordop and I are going back and forth a little bit in the break, and so this is the exchange, and you know, he makes a good point about how the video could be it's probably somebody filming a computer monitor with their camera phone, or you know, the camera on their phone, which I say is a fair point, definitely, and that makes sense. But again, it's curious that the local Shabbat, i.e. Lubavitch Center, is the organization that captures the footage, and the right worshipful Sheriff Israel, you know, has deep ties, and his Talmudic faith connects him to the Shabbat centers of the area, Coral Springs and Parkland, and they've actually mentioned him. And, you know, any of those, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not, it's not my intent to besmirch or disparage anyone's faith per se, but the Orthodox Judaism and the Talmud are, I would say, mutually exclusive and somewhat collectively exhaustive, if you know what I mean. Anyway, continuing. So the echo chamber of alternative events, this Vladislav Surkov style echo chamber, and it's just like a swirling echo chamber of alternative events, and to that extent, Larkin, Texas is right. We should just step aside and, you know, let it basically give itself a heart attack in its frantic scurrying to create a dizzying frenzy that would suck us in and take us down. But it does affect us. And whether we like it or not, I mean, if you're paying attention and having any interaction with other people, you could see how it's frantic at this point, creating its own specious Machiavellian counter-narrative in this echo chamber, slightly off the mark, as I said, as always, in an effort to roll up all opposition in the equivocation fallacy of the notion that all criticism of the establishment narrative represents, it's all the same. We're going to try to roll it up in a specious ball, that all criticism of the establishment narrative represents not only a scurrilous attack, but I mean, you can hear it, you can feel it. No one's really saying, but it feels like, you know, any criticism now is indeed hateful, bigoted, racist, and as un-American as Vladimir Putin himself, or was it Hitler? I mean, that's how it feels. You can feel it just watching the headlines, not even commenting. So according to Machiavelli, a wise prince ought, when he has the chance, to foment astutely some enmity so that by suppressing it, he will augment his greatness. That's what happens. You know, you have the David Hoggs sort of put up to this, and you know, him saying with Anderson Cooper, you know, on AC360, I can't believe, I'm disgusted, these people, I can't believe they've given up on America. It's, kid, do you even know what America is? Because it's not this agency land contrivance that you seem to have been mind controlled into, pretty much the same way it seems Nicholas Cruz may have been. You're just another side of the same coin, kid. You probably don't know it, but that's what's going on, and you're being played. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The weekend of June 24th, more than 40,000 ham radio operators across North America will head for the hills during their annual Field Day event. Field Day is ham radio's open house, where hams showcase the science, skill, and service ham radio brings to our communities. Ham radio is making, creating, communicating, and fun. Ham radio is for everyone, including you. Come visit a Field Day site near you. Learn more at arrl.org/fieldday.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The weekend of June 24th, more than 40,000 ham radio operators across North America will head for the hills during their annual Field Day event. Field Day is ham radio's open house, where hams showcase the science, skill, and service ham radio brings to our communities. Ham radio is making, creating, communicating, and fun. Ham radio is for everyone, including you. Come visit a Field Day site near you. Learn more at arrl.org/fieldday.
Welcome back. Hopefully this makes sense. You know, it's a valid point. It does look like it's cell phone video footage from the recording of a monitor. But the point is this, really. Even if it is, still. So from the story that I mentioned, Parkland, Florida, Chabad Center surveillance video could figure prominently in case against Parkland shooter. The sheriff said that after merging with the student base and leaving the school, he walked into the Subway store at the Walmart Supercenter and bought a drink and continued down the street, entering McDonald's at 3:01 p.m., Rabbi Bronstein said. So I'm pretty sure that Walmart, Subway, and McDonald's all have video surveillance as well. And then Rabbi Bronstein talks about, you know, he says the FBI had already subpoenaed the cameras from Walmart and McDonald's. How did he know that? And when the news media came down and saw my property and the location of my cameras, they knew that I would have footage as well. How did he know the FBI already subpoenaed the cameras, he says, the footage from Walmart and McDonald's? And here's the drama. I debated for a minute before I gave it to them, but decided that the people here who were hurting deserved to have something, and I wanted to be able to share the information with them. Oh, what a giver. So, you know, we still, here's the point that I'm making. We still, to this day, don't have a single image, not even a screenshot, not even a video of of a screen here, somebody, you know, taking it from their cell phone, that shows Stephen Paddock anywhere in Las Vegas in 2017, let alone Mandalay Bay in September and October 1st. Not a single image, let alone video footage. Everybody, you know, people will say, well, the investigation's ongoing. Yeah, I remember the heist, the Bellagio heist that took place, what, 2 weeks after? About 2 weeks or 4 weeks, few weeks, excuse me. It was a few weeks later. And that video footage was up a couple of days after the heist. Him driving up, the suspect driving up, walking in, going to the cage, walking out, going out, leaving, driving away with the owner of the car in the trunk, by the way. That footage was up right away. It wasn't the Chabad Center. It was the casino footage. So where's the school footage that shows him? Oh, and there's the Walmart foot, and he's walking into Subway, and then he's walking out, Subway, Walmart footage, and then, oh, and then the Chabad Center footage, and then McDonald's footage, and why was he wandering around less than a mile from the school after he just pulled off one of the deadliest mass shootings, school shootings in American history? Who stands around and waits? We'll get to that in a minute. David Hogg told CNN's Allison Camerota while he was filming, he said, all I could think of was tell the story. Tell the story indeed. If I was going to die, he said, I wanted to die doing what I love. And that storytelling, it kind of reminds me of Roald Dahl. You know, why would a CIA guy, an OSS CIA guy, write children's stories? I ask rhetorically. And this is a story, he said, that needed to be to be heard, at least our echoes. Mm-hmm. Our voices would carry on and possibly make some action. Really? What kind of action, Junior Asparagus? Pray tell. Since David Miles Hogg is clearly a shill, as he whispers, an active shooter drill. An active shooter. It's not a drill. Why would you whisper that? While something is happening, no normal person would whisper an active shooter. It's not a drill. It's not a drill. He whispers dramatically in his cell phone footage as a fellow student casually chats on her phone nearby, right next to him. Yeah, she's chatting. What are you doing? Uh-huh. Where are you at right now? As he's being theatrical, and he is interested in theatrics, that according to his own profile. Anyway, who knows how many of the rest of these children, and they're acting like children when they're mindlessly shouting at the public, who knows how many of them are shilling too. Whether they realize it or not, they're little more than dupes and useful idiots, and the fact that the adults around them would consent to them being used as mindless political props is perhaps most reprehensible of all. So the establishment narrative, whatever there is of it, is wobbly and feeble, to say the least, and so it needs to be propped up and defended. Enter Graham Ledger, One American News Network, Gateway Pundit, True Pundit, Heavy.com, The Daily Beast, BuzzFeed, Donald Trump Jr., and CNN to the rescue. Not to mention the Young Turks et al. But leave it to the CIA mockingbird himself, Anderson Cooper, to weave the tale. I want to give you a little clip of the YouTube video, and it's on CNN too, but it's on YouTube. It's titled "Cooper Slams Sick Alt-Right Conspiracy Theory." See, when you start saying, yeah, something doesn't add up, then they have to create that counter narrative that's designed to roll up legitimate criticism and then cast it all as, you know, racist, bigoted. And so if you say, wait a second, something's fishy here, then all of a sudden you're, you know, a hateful person who hates children, and you're probably a child murderer too. Because, you know, ad hominem attack is all they can fall back on. Anyway, I want to give you that clip if we're ready for that. Let's play that.
So no Don Jr. tonight, but David Hogg and his father, Kevin, who, by the way, actually was in the FBI, could make time to talk about it. David, Kevin, appreciate you being with us. David, first of all, that Donald Trump Jr. is liking tweets espousing a conspiracy theory involving you and your dad. I'm wondering what goes through your mind when you hear that.
I'm just so sorry that these people have lost their faith in America, because I know I certainly haven't. The fact that these people refuse to believe that something like this could happen is something that all of us don't want to believe, but the sad truth is that it is. These people saying this is absolutely disturbing, and I'm not an actor in any sense, way, shape, or form. I'm the son of a former FBI agent, and that is true. But as such, it is also true that I go to Stoneman Douglas High School, and I was a witness to this. I'm not a crisis actor. I'm somebody that had to witness this and live through this, and I continue to have to do that. But I'm also that it's unbelievable to me that these people are even saying this. And the fact that Donald Trump Jr. liked that post is disgusting to me, but it's also false in terms of the sense that these people keep saying that I'm anti-Second Amendment. I'm not. I would love if I want every American to be able to own a gun that has a mentally stable mind, a person that has a credible background that doesn't have any previous like major convictions, and somebody that's not going to go out and commit these atrocities, because those are the people that are at fault here. I do not want to take away the constitutional rights of American citizens in the same way that with freedom of speech, you can't say something that causes direct danger. I want that to be the same way, like, you know how you can't say there's a fire in a crowded movie theater. I want it to be the same way with the Second Amendment. People can still use the Second Amendment. We just want to have more safety checks in place to make sure these insane people don't get these guns.
David, I hesitate to do this, but I want you to be able to respond. I want to just read you part of another tweet that Donald Trump Jr. liked. It read, quote, "Could it be that this student is running cover for his dad, who works as an FBI agent at the Miami field office, which botched the tracking down the man behind the Valentine Day massacre? Just wondering, just connecting some dots." Again, the president's son tweeted that out or liked that. I just want to, again, give you a chance to respond to that sort of thing.
The fact that these people are being critical of me as a victim, like as a witness and partially as a victim to this incident and having to witness this and live through it again and again, it's unbelievable. And the fact that some of the students at Stoneman Douglas High School are showing more maturity in political action than many of our elected officials is a testament to how disgusting and broken our political system is right now in America. But we're trying to fix that, because unlike those people that are tweeting that stuff about me, and unlike the people that are tweeting the stuff about my dad, I haven't lost hope in America, and my dad certainly hasn't either, because I know that we are all, that the people at the FBI are hard workers, and I acknowledge that my dad was a former agent. I'm not acting on anybody's behalf. I think it's hilarious that people think that my dad literally walks a dog every day and just talks about that. Half the time I've come home finding him he's fallen asleep and he's snuggling with my dog watching Netflix.
So there's no way. I don't know how they believe that there's such thing. My career has been perfect. I've gone through. I was a Navy pilot before. Then I was an elementary school teacher. I have a California credential. I moved on and I got into the FBI and was very proud of it, and I still am. The FBI has provided me a chance to go to Southeast Asia with these trips where we would teach these other countries, Dhaka, Bangladesh, all over Southeast Asia, and the Philippines, Cambodia, these crime scene management courses. Come back, I've worked in any of these major cases. One of the tweets or something that went through here, I saw that it claimed that... It claimed that I was involved with something in a... There's no way. I don't know why they would say that.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm wondering what you think of your son's activism. I mean, he's incredibly well-spoken. I know he's a student journalist at the school.
Yeah, now we got to shift gears and switch away from that, right? We can't see how Anderson Cooper kind of segues away. That was pretty slick. Did Kevin Hogg just say crime scene management courses? And did Anderson Cooper just segue away from Kevin Hogg's admission of culpability, it seems? I mean, he was kind of going there. And Junior Asparagus talking about, you know, I don't want to take away anyone's constitutional rights, but, you know, mental health screening and check. I'm curious. I have some questions. David Hogg, Kevin Hogg, Emma Gonzalez, all of you kids are welcome on this broadcast anytime. I would love to chat with you, find out, you know, maybe when you became interested in these issues and how much studying you've done on the matter and, you know, who you're, well, I'm not even getting it. I won't get into the questions now, but suffice it to say, I would love to talk to these kids. I think it would be great to find out how they came to be so passionate about this subject. Is it just in reaction to what's going on? Because, you know, I think one of the interesting points that gets lost in this echo chamber narrative or echo chamber of narrative and counter narrative is the fact that Steve Scalise is one of the first people to say, hold on a second. This guy was the target of one of these, you know, MK Ultra monarch styled Manchurian candidate mass shooting attacks or attempts on his life. And the, his, you know, fellow baseballers, Steve Scalise is one of the first people to say, hold on a second. You know, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't think we need to do this. You know, it's interesting. Everyone who watches that clip that we just played too, by the way, that segment, the whole segment's about 8 minutes or so. Well, no, it's 11 minutes or something like that. But you watch it and people comment about how David and Kevin, his father, seem to be, Kevin especially, seems to be following a script. And Kevin even mentions, well, David's much better at this. He's much more articulate, much more well-spoken and better at this than I. Better at this than what? Or, you know, what's going on here? Anyway, yeah. So, next up, crime scene management courses. Put that in the back of your mind. We'll come back to that. Then there's fellow gun-grabbing CNN propagandist and former FBI Los Angeles colleague of Kevin Hogg, that is. You can see that on one of his tweets. How convenient. Josh Campbell. Here's Josh Campbell. Go ahead, please.
Let me say at the outset, so my role here is to talk about law enforcement and national security, not politics. But what do we do when the two come in and intersect with each other? Let me just say at the outset, I grew up in rural Texas. I grew up hunting. My family owned weapons. I challenged someone to question my support of the Second Amendment. I was also an FBI agent, and I carried a similar type weapon, the M4, which is a high-power assault weapon. And up until a week ago, when I left, I gave it back. Because I think the national debate that we need to have, and this is people in law enforcement, people in military, and in average citizens, is what conceivable reason could someone have to have this type of high-power assault weapon? I know it's a very contentious issue. People are going to bring it up, but that's the debate we need to have.
Josh Campbell. There's a virtue signaling.
My role here is to talk about law enforcement, national security, not politics. So allow me to get political and use kids as a prop.
Hey, Josh, challenge accepted. I don't just question your support of the Second Amendment. I ask you to justify your subversion of it and the First Amendment while we're at it. Is that what they taught you at Quantico? Let's begin by defining terms, starting with national security. Because when I read the Second Amendment, that's what I read. I'm curious where you and all these other folks read hunting anywhere in the words being necessary to the security of a free state. That sounds like national security to me. Hence the military weapons, as you call them. Incidentally, that's kind of how that works, doesn't it? Which is the conceivable reason you seem to be searching for, by the way, undoubtedly to protect oneself, country and countrymen from the Bureau. you know, events like Waco and Ruby Ridge come to mind, for example. Unfortunately, it sounds like your FBI training got the best of you, G-Man. So now you have, at a minimum, David Hogg, seeming spokesperson, as many news articles, even mainstream media articles, are pointing out, for the Parkland gun grabbers, you know, at Parkland and beyond. That's kind of the poster child event now. And these kids being used as dupes and useful idiots. David Hogg is the spokesperson for the gun grabbers and thought police movement now, whose dad isn't just a retired FBI agent, it would seem, who falls asleep snuggling the dog watching Netflix. David's dad, Kevin Hogg, the globetrotting spy, admittedly trained in crime scene management courses, what? Appears to be one and the same Kevin Hogg listed on LinkedIn as a hardware engineer, think consultant or accountant, at hardcore defense security contractor Cubic Corporation, the Black Cube. Only theirs is blue, but whatever. Or could there be another Kevin Hogg in Parkland, Florida? I guess anything's possible, I suppose, but, you know, it's possible but highly improbable, as they say. You know, this Kevin Hogg's LinkedIn profile lists him working at Cubic from December 2006 to present, 11 years and 3 months, which is particularly interesting if it's the one and the same Kevin Hogg, considering the Heavy article mentions he's, quote, only been retired from the FBI since 2014. It's also interesting to note Cubic maintains. So is there another Kevin Hogg that has defense, security, intelligence connections that lives in the Parkland, Florida area? Yeah. Sure, I guess it's possible. And, you know, the corporate offices of Cubic in San Diego and Orlando would seem to kind of match up with some of Kevin's stated background. Anyway, on this subject, Scott Crichton did a great a provocative video and companion post at his willieloman.wordpress blog titled Father of New Anti-Gun Crusader Works for Major CIA-Linked GWOT Defense Contractor. I recommend the reading and the watching. I was thinking about playing a clip, but we'll hold off on that. So here are two wild speculations on my part. Could Cubic have provided a wet team or at least operational or logistical support for an op last Wednesday? You remember when we heard, who was it? Who was the former intelligence community contractor who said it was, I can see his face. Can't remember his name. It escapes me at the moment. Who said that it was probably a DefSec contractor that sent in a wet team of two or three people at San Bernardino, for example. Gosh, I can't remember who. I can see his face. I hate it when that happens. Anyway, here we have, in close proximity to the event, a company that trains you know, special operators and whom else to do exactly what we heard was done at Marjorie Stonemason Douglas High School last week. So, you know, that's one speculation. The more I look, the fewer coincidences I see, if you know what I mean. Second speculation, wild speculation. With all the online speculation of David attending Redondo High School, could that be an intentional bifurcation fallacy? What if he attended both? What if he attended Redondo and was assigned to Marjorie Stonemason Douglas High School? I don't know. Again, it's a wild speculation on my part, I admit. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then there's James Sneed from the Sun Sentinel article. Quote, James Sneed, 48, is a decorated Army veteran and military intelligence analyst who served stints in the Middle East between 1988 and 1996. Again, according to his LinkedIn profile, spent time in Fort Hood at a curious and provocative point in time. So former Army intel, including time at Fort Hood, at which time he invariably crossed paths with Nadal, Malik, Hassan, and maybe even David and Kamel Crowley. Then you have Jared Benenfield, the Donald Ewan Cameron / Martin Seligman of this episode, this latest installment of, you know, mass incident nonsense. Then there's the right worshipful Sheriff Scott Israel, the FBI Academy attending consensus molding. Remember that clip we played, CBS Miami? Gun control advocating Talmudic Chad at Parkland Shabbat, who oversaw the Fort Lauderdale incident and was interviewed about Las Vegas. You know, when someone gets this in their mind, there's nothing you can do. Robert Runcie seems suspicious. The Cruises, that's a whole different story. Get into that later. And was it a coincidence three of the decedents were junior ROTC? Cruz was reportedly junior ROTC as a freshman. Maybe I'm reaching here. But, you know, you have to wonder. And speaking of school shootings, do you think David Hogg and his classmates learned about Kent State and Jackson State? But I digress. The Daily Sheeple has a great article by Aaron Kessel titled Five Reasons to Question the Official Narrative of the Florida School Shooting. Five reasons are, one, there was a drill planned the day of the shooting. Two, the shooter claims he heard demonic voices. Three, the shooter arrived in an Uber and left the scene blending into the crowd, then peacefully surrendered. I would add, wandered around for, over an hour. You know, why would you go to the Walmart? If you're going to try to flee the scene and, you know, you have an inheritance coming. I'll get to that in a minute. But why would you do any of this? Why would you wander around and wait to be apprehended? You know, basically wandering around at the scene. He was apprehended less than a mile away. And the tip came from a student to a dad to Broward County. Anyway, it's all ridiculous. Number four, witnesses claim multiple gunmen while the media and police report a lone wolf narrative. That's something we always hear. Number five, the shooting is being used to take away our freedoms or is being pushed in an effort to do that. Gosh, exactly like Bill Cooper predicted. That's funny. That last one's a big one to be sure, but indulge me in a sixth. I'll talk about it when we come back. Second hour coming up right after the short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.